You know, every time I stand before you and open the Word of God, I want to make a difference. I want to help with something that's in your life, and I think, based on how I read this book, that if we follow this book and obey the things that not only the commands but the principles that are in this book, that God wants us to be and will help us to be happy. We read in Matthew chapter 5 the Beatitudes, and they all start with the word blessed, and that word blessed means happy. It means truly happy. And so this morning, I want to preach a sermon I've entitled Happy in the Present. Happy in the Present. And I want to make a statement before I start my message this morning. And here it is. It's a very simple statement, a statement that all of you know and have been exposed to before. But here it is. There are things in life that can change. And there are things in life that can't change. And the happy person is the person that knows the difference between those two things. The things that can be changed and the things that can't change. Now, if I could be assured that everybody understood that statement and you really got it, I would close my Bible and we'd go home and, you know, you could get to Big Boy before all the Methodists that get there this morning. But I'm not sure that you just get the scope of it. And so we're going to spend a few minutes this morning and we're going to talk about how to be happy. There are three groups of people in this room this morning. There are some of you here this morning that are happy. I can tell by looking at your face. You're just happy. I mean, some of you may not know why you're happy, and you sort of have a dumb look on your face, and I'm not looking at anybody when I say that, but you're happy. You may not know why, but you're happy. Then there's a second group of people here this morning. You're unhappy. I mean, you may not know why you're unhappy, but you've made it a point this morning to come and be unhappy. I mean, everything may be going good. Nobody may be sick. All the bills may be paid. I got to move these a little bit. They're going to get in my way. There's absolutely no reason for you to be unhappy, but you've just decided you're going to be unhappy, and so you're unhappy this morning. And then there are people here this morning that are unhappy, but they don't want anybody to know they're unhappy, so they got their Sunday morning smile on. They're smiling, they're beaming, and you cannot tell by looking at them that they are unhappy. And I know there are people here this morning that look at somebody else and say, well, if I had their situation of life, I would be happy. Man, if I drove the car that they drove, if I had the house that they lived in, if I look at their life and they have no problems, and if my life was like that, I'd be happy too. I want to tell you something. Happiness has very little to do with what you have. Happiness should have very little to do with what's going on in your life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. God says our life does not consist of what we have. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. God says, I don't want your happiness to be based on that. That's not what your life consists of. And again, Jesus is not criticizing those that have things. He's simply saying, look, there are some people that have things and there are some people that don't have things. There are some people that there is trouble in their life and there are some people that there's no trouble in their life. And what God is saying, happiness is not relative to either one of those things. Happiness comes by knowing the truth that's in God's Word. And this morning, I want to tell you one of the things that will make you happy. I'm going to tell you one of the things that if you'll follow this principle that's in God's Word, regardless of what you have, regardless of what's going on in your life, you can be happy. You can have this blessedness that God is talking about in Matthew chapter 5. All right, so I got 3 points this morning. So you can sort of track my progress and know when we're about to be done. All right, here's number one. Number one, unhappy people are often those people to try to change things which cannot be changed. There are people that are unhappy this morning because they're trying to change things that can't be changed. You say, well, preacher, what kind of things can't be changed? Well, let me give you a couple examples. Number one, you cannot change your past. Your past is behind you. It's done. And regardless of how much time you spend thinking about it, regardless of how much time you spend living in it, regardless of how much time you wish that you could go back and undo what you did, you cannot go back into the past and change the past. The Bible gives us a very good example of a man that was unhappy for a period of time in his life because he wanted to change the past. That man was King David. Most of the time, he was a happy guy. Most of the psalms he wrote were praising God and uplifting God for the kind of God he was. And most of the time in his life, David was a happy guy. But there was a time in his life when King David had his eyes focused on the past, and he said, I wish I could change what went on in the past, and he was an unhappy camper. I mean, he just was unhappy. Now, you say, well, I don't remember a time in David's life like that. Well, let me remind you. You remember that he committed a terrible sin. He committed adultery. And then to try to cover it up, he committed murder. And as a result of that sin, God brought some punishment into his life. And again, I don't have time to tell you the whole story this morning, but you remember one of his daughters were raped by her half-brother, and then the brother of that daughter ended up killing his half-brother that raped his sister, and then that brother that killed his brother went into exile and stayed in exile for a number of years, and that brother's name was Absalom. And then when Absalom came back, he led a revolt against his dad and tried to overthrow his dad from being king. And David went into exile. And David raised an army to fight against the army of Absalom, and there were three generals, and I'd try to recall the names, but I'd mess them up. So there were three generals that David put in charge of the army, and he gave them very specific instructions when he sent them out to fight the army of Absalom. He says, I want you to treat Absalom, my son, very gently. I don't want you to kill him. I want him to come out alive in this battle. Well, so the battle began, and Absalom was killed. In fact, one of the generals, Joab, put three darts through his heart, and then he had his men finish off the job and kill him. And when word came back to David that this battle had been won, and instead of rejoicing that he was going to get to return to Jerusalem, instead of rejoicing that he was going to be restored as the king, the Bible says that when he heard the news of his son's Absalom's death, that he cried out, "Oh Absalom, oh Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Would God I had died in your place." The Bible says that the men in his army, when they heard that the king said this, they sort of snuck back into the city. And Joab, the general, had to come in to David and said, David, look, if you don't go out and appear before the people and tell them that you are happy that they've won this battle and that you're going to get to be king again, it's going to be worse for you than it was when Absalom revolted against you. And what Joab was telling David was, David, you cannot live in the past. You see, what David was thinking, I wish I could go back and undo the past. I wish when it was time to go to war that I had gone to war and not stayed at home. I wish that night when I'd walked upon the rooftop that I had kept my eyes where they should have belonged and I would have not have seen Bathsheba. I wish when I had seen her that I had not called her to my house. I wish that I could go back and undo that wicked deed that I did with her and lie in that bed of adultery. I wish I could go back and undo that. I wish I could go back and recall my order to kill her husband, Uriah. I wish I could go back and undo everything in the past that I know is wrong so that I would not have to now stand and think about my dead son and wish that I had died in his place. And there are many people in their lives that are looking back at something that happened in their past, and they have the same attitude that David did. They focused on what happened in the past, and they say, oh, I wish I could go back and undo that. I wish I could go back and have a second chance. I wish I could go back and undo what I did. Let me tell you something this morning. God is not going to rewind your life and say, go ahead, have another shot at it. It doesn't work that way. If you have committed a sin in the past and you have asked God's forgiveness for that sin, then claim 1 John 1:9, where it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have a God that not only forgives, but he forgets. I mean, he forgets and wipes out of the record of heaven, and he does it on purpose because he's God. He does not remember the sins that we committed in the past. And he would say to us this morning, look, I've forgiven you. I've forgotten it. You need to do the same. Because you cannot change the past. And if you are living in the past, you are going to be an unhappy person. Because the past cannot be changed. And if you're one of those people that are trying to change the past, I'll just tell you right now, you're going to be unsuccessful. And you're going to be unhappy. Now, number two, let me give you something else that can't change. You cannot change people. Listen, listen, listen. This is probably a problem that more people have than the first one. You cannot change people. You cannot change your spouse. You cannot change your children, except when they're real little and they need a diaper change, then you can change them. But you cannot change them. Many people are unhappy because they are trying to change others. Listen to this verse from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What that means is, God can change people, but you and I cannot. I can't change you. You cannot change me. Only God can change us. Now, for example, I can't change my spouse. There are some things about my spouse that I'd like to change. But, you know, we've been married for, 36 years in August. And I've come to the conclusion, I think very wisely, your pastor may not be wise in all areas, but he's wise in this area. There's some things about her that I'm not going to change. Now, I can pray for her. I can pray that God will change those things. But you know what I've discovered as I've prayed that prayer? You know who usually ends up getting changed when I pray for somebody else to change? Me. Huh? Me. I pray for her, and I'm the one that God ends up changing. God can change people, but we cannot. We can pray for them. I mean, I can't tell you how many young ladies I've heard that said, well, I'm going to get them, I'm going to marry them, and when I marry them, I'll change them into exactly the kind of guy that I want him to be. What planet are you living on? It doesn't work that way. I've heard guys say, well, this girl's the one for me. She's got a few rough edges, and when I get married, don't you worry about it. I'm going to take care of all those. Look, it's not like a piece of wood where you can get your sander out and sand off the rough edges. It doesn't work that way. You cannot change each other, and that's what I tell. You got what you got. Now, God can change them. You can pray for them. But again, my experience has been when I pray for somebody to be changed, I'm the one that ends up getting changed. We cannot change people. For example, I cannot get saved for you this morning. I mean, I wish God had set it up that way, that those that are here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I wish that I could change you and get you saved this morning and make sure that you know that you have a home in heaven. I can't do that. I can present the gospel to you. I can tell you, hey, you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I can tell you there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And I can tell you that as a sinner, we all stand condemned under the judgment of God because of our sin. And then I can tell you the good news of the Bible, that Jesus, God's only Son, came to earth. He lived 33 some years, and he went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, he took all of our sins upon him. And that's what we're going to picture Tuesday night when we talk about Easter. That's what Easter's all about. It's not the Easter bunnies, not the Easter eggs, not the Easter lilies. It's the fact that God put on his Son all of our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for every one of my sins, and he paid for every one of your sins, and in heaven, our sin bill is stamped paid in full. And I wish I could teach you that, and I wish that I could make the decision for you. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus as your Savior, I wish that I can make the decision for you to ask Jesus to be your Savior. But I can't. I can tell you all about it. I can tell you that that's the only way. I can tell you that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I can tell you you're not going to get into heaven by good works. I can tell you you're not going to get into heaven by getting baptized. I can tell you you're not going to get into heaven by taking the Lord's Supper. I think all those are good things in their place, but they won't get you into heaven. I mean, I can tell you that joining the church won't get you into heaven. I think that's a good thing too, but that won't get you into heaven. The only thing that will get you into heaven, the only thing that will make you right with God, the only thing that will get your sins taken care of, is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Nothing else will work. And I cannot make that change in you myself, but God can. The Bible says that God deals to every man a measure of faith, enough faith to just to believe what I just told you. Enough faith to step out on that faith and say, I'm going to give Jesus a try. And if you're here this morning, that's what I'd encourage you to do. Give Jesus a try. The Bible says in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord isn't good. He is good. And you may think, and you may be here this morning, you may be one of those people that are happy. You may not know why you're happy. I'll tell you something this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't know true happiness. You can't. But if you know him as your Savior, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, you can also know true happiness. So, unhappy people are those people that try to change what can't be changed. Point number two. Unhappy people are often people that are trying to change the future. We can't change the past. It's done. So we go to God and we say, here's how I'd like my future to go. Here's how I'd like you to make it work. Isn't that kind of dumb? Huh? I mean, the Bible says our lives are a tale that's not yet told. God knows the story of our life. He can see the end. And for me to think that I could tell God better than he knows already how I want my life to come out, it's stupid. It's just stupid. I mean, I've messed up the past. I'm messing up the present. How do I think I have knowledge to make the future come out right? I can't. I can't. The only thing I need to do, and we sang about it, the choir sang about it this morning, is I just need to trust Jesus. We sing that song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." Look, I cannot control my future. I don't even want to plan my future, because here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid if I plan my future and God says, okay, you want your future like that? I'll give it to you. I'll miss something better that he has for me. I don't want to limit God. I don't want to say, hey, God, this is how I want my future to come out. Make it just that way. He said, okay, but you're going to miss a lot that I had planned for you. I don't want to do that. I just want to trust him to say, okay, just give me your future. Aaron, my little grandson, he's almost a year old. He likes to stand behind the steering wheel and drive. Of course, we don't do that when the car's going. You know, in a parking lot, Grandpa will let him stand behind the wheel and drive. And when we have to start driving and I have to pass him in the back seat, he gets all upset. He don't want to go in the back seat anymore. But you know, if I was going to let him drive, I would put my hands on his and we would sort of steer together. It'd be really Grandpa that was steering, not him. Now, if you want to sit in the seat and turn the wheel, just make sure that you let God put his hands over yours. And when he starts turning this way, you turn that way with him. And when he starts turning this way, you turn this way with him. Let him do the driving. I mean, if it'll make you feel better sitting in the driver's seat, go ahead. But let him be the one that decides where you go, when you go, how fast you go, and where you go. Huh? Just trust him. So, unhappy people are those that try to change things that can't be changed. Unhappy people are those that try to change the future. Happy people, this is my last point, happy people are those that live today. Those that live today. Bob, I want you and Terry to come up here and help me. I want to illustrate this point. So, Bob, you go over there, right there about where that plug is, right here. All right? And Terry, you stay right here at the end of this aisle right here. All right? So, I need one more. Brother Warren, come here and help me. Okay? You stand right here. Now, all three of these guys represent me. Okay? Brother Bob's going to represent my past. Okay? This is everything that's happened in my life in the past. Brother Lauren's going to represent me in the present. Okay? And Brother Terry's going to represent my future. Okay? Now, I get to decide where I'm going to live. I could decide that I'm going to live over here in the past. You know, the good old days. In Bob's past, they still had outdoor toilets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the good old days. And many, many people live their life in the past. The past is done. Brother Bob's not going to move. He's going to stay right here because the past, nothing can be done with the past. Now, the present and the future are moving. Okay, you guys just move a little bit in conjunction with one another. Okay, not too much. Okay, and see, there's always this same distance between the present and the future. I mean, if this is tomorrow, there's one day's difference. If this is next year, there's one year's difference. Okay? And they're moving. Now, if I stay over here in the past and they're moving, move just one step, I'm missing what's going on today. Huh? I'm missing it. I'm back here. He ain't moving at all. I mean, the past is done. If I go over here and say, hey, I'm going to live in the future. I'm going to live in the future. I'm going to look forward to things. And I believe you ought to look forward to things, but not all the time. I believe, for example, sometimes when you look forward to going on vacation, that looking forward to it is actually sometimes better than the vacation. but not living your whole life looking forward, because as I'm over here looking at the future and they move, future and the present move, I can't enjoy anything over here. Don't go so fast. I can't enjoy anything over here. I mean, this is the future. It hadn't happened. I'm not there yet. But if I come over here and live today, what does the Bible say? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what the Bible says. And here's where we need to live to be happy. I mean, yeah, I ought to learn from the past. And I ought to, on occasion, look forward to the future. I mean, for example, I'm looking forward to when Aaron can talk to me. I don't understand these all these things that he's doing now. I'm looking forward to when we can carry on a conversation and I can know what's going on in his brain. But I need to live right here. This is the day that God has made. And I was thinking about that last night. Just think about it. Today, Dorothy, God made today this day for you. I mean, the things that he put in your life today are things that he knows you need, are things that will make you happy. And he made, just think about it, the one that created everything that we see, he made this day for you. Don Ray did the same thing for you. Nick, he did the same thing for you. Every single one of us. God, just stop and think about it. This is overwhelming me when I think about it. He's got the whole universe to run. The Bible says all things consist by him. So he's got to hold it all together. And yet God loves Betty enough today. He said, Betty, I got your day planned for you. I got things in today that just you're going to enjoy, things that you're just going to like. I've made today for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty special. That God would take the time and say, I'm making today for you. Why would I want to live back there and miss this day that God has made for me? Why would I want to live over there in the future and miss this day that God has made for me? You say, well, Brother Darrell, sad things might happen today. I know. But God made it. He made it. He knows we need it. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Okay, guys, thank you. And I will also tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You see, you can't go back and undo the past. I mean, I can remember before I was saved, and I've told you my story before. I was sitting in the auditorium when they were singing the invitation. I dig my fingernails into the back of the pews. And I would bargain with God and said, God, quit making me feel this way. I'll get saved tomorrow. And you know what? Tomorrow never came. Tomorrow, I'll never get till tomorrow. When I get to tomorrow, it'll be today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You can't get saved tomorrow any more than you can get saved yesterday. You can get saved today. You can get saved right now. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, in the next few minutes, that's what I'd encourage you to do. Just tell him that you're a sinner and you know there's a penalty for that sin. You believe that he died for you and you have enough faith. You're trusting him to save you and you're going to ask him to save you. And if you do that, I wish you'd come forward and so that we could rejoice with you. We could tell other people. Happy in the present. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You want to know how to be happy? Live for today. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan for the future. Yeah, I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand me. You ought to save some money, put some money aside, and get ready for the future. But you ought to live for today. Live for today. I'm almost done. I'll close and I'll be done. Don't be one of these husbands that say, well, I told my wife I loved her 2 years ago. If that ever changes, I'll tell her. Harry, you need to tell Judy you love her today. John, you need to tell Wanda you love her today. Matt, I know you're a visitor. You need to tell Ann that you love her today. Russ, you need to tell Robin. I mean, today. Doug, you need to tell Edie. Today, 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 today. Don't say, well, I'll tell her tomorrow. No, you won't, because you won't get till tomorrow. When you get tomorrow, it'll be today. Live for today. We don't know how many tomorrows we got. We may not have tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying, look, the only time that God has given us is this time now. If you're going to get saved, you need to get saved today. If you're going to do those things that God tells you to do, you need to do them today. If there's somebody in your life that needs to hear about Jesus, you need to tell them today. That's all we got. Today. Today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come to this place and open your word. And Father, for the truth that comes from it. And I pray today for those that might be here that do not know Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Father, if there's just one in this auditorium that's never asked him to save them, that right now they would exercise the faith that you've given to every single person and they would ask Jesus to save them. And I pray, Father, that if they are doing that, that in just a minute when we sing, that they'll come and they'll share that with us. And maybe, Father, when we sing, they need to come and get some help doing that. And I pray that we'd have an opportunity to help somebody this morning pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the Christians that are here. If we're going to serve you, today's the only day we got to serve you. And so I pray that as you speak to us, we'd be obedient, we'd listen, and we'd do those things that you tell us to do. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. If there's somebody here that hasn't been baptized, and maybe they need to come and present themselves for baptism. If there's people here that you're talking to about joining the church, I pray, Father, they'd be obedient, and they would come and do that. And so I just pray that your will would be done, Christ would be honored. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.